Next case is 07570, Office of Ohio Consumer Counsel versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Mr. Bergman.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I'm here on behalf of the customers of Cincinnati Bell Telephone Company in the Cincinnati and Hamilton exchanges who have been required to pay increased rates for their standalone basic telephone service in violation of Ohio law. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The service at issue in this appeal is basic local telephone service offered on a standalone basis and not as part of a bundle of services such as caller ID, call waiting, call forwarding, or long distance calling. Standalone basic telephone service is the bare minimum telephone service to which consumers can subscribe and is defined in Revised Code 4927-01A. Before this case, the PUCO-approved rates for Cincinnati Bell's standalone service was less than $18 per month. Revised Code 4927-03A allows the PUCO to grant alternative regulation for standalone service only if it is found to be, quote, subject to competition, or if the customers of that service have, quote, reasonably available alternatives to that service. The PUCO is also required to find that there are no barriers to entry. This is what the law requires for alternative regulation to be granted. It is limited in this respect. This repeal presents questions of the interpretation of that statute, which this court reviews de novo. Where the PUCO grants alternative regulation, it allows telephone companies to increase the rates that customers pay. In this case, CBT has increased the rates for its standalone basic service by $1.25 per month, and it can do so next year and every year thereafter without further PUCO review.
It could do more or less as well, could it not?
Yes, Your Honor. It could not do more than $1.25 per month, but it could do less.
That's the cap.
Yes, sir. The PUCO adopted rules purporting to implement 4927-03A that allow rate increases for standalone basic service where there is no competition for that service. And the PUCO's implementation of those rules in the case below also violated the law in four major respects and others described in our brief. First, as I said, the law allows alternative regulation only where the service is subject to competition or if there are reasonably available alternatives. Instead, the PUCO allowed CBT's rate increases because of other carriers' bundles of services, local, long distance, caller ID, and so forth, not because of competition from standalone basic service. That's in the record. These bundles are not functionally equivalent to standalone basic service.
The bundled services do include all the standalone services, do they not?
Yes, they do, but they include far more than that, right, and far more than customers may need.
Could I stop you there, counsel? You're saying that, I wanted to make clear on that, because if you look at the basic local service exchange as defined in the statute, they include such things as the dial tone, the touch tone, the 911 directory, phone directory. You're saying that the bundled services in this case include every single one of the statutory subparts of the definition? So I was under the impression that you're saying that they are not identical.
The basic service that is included in those bundles, Your Honor, does include all of those things that are identified in the statute.
Including phone directory
yes,
listing
Your Honor.
And so on?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Actually, with the exception of the wireless services, which do not include some of those items.
So you're saying because they offer more, they are not functionally equivalent?
Yes, Your Honor. That's what we're saying.
I don't find that restriction in the statute. What's your strongest argument on that point?
In terms of, Your Honor, whether they are functionally equivalent?
Right, yes.
That being whether a service is functionally equivalent and is provided at competitive rates and terms and conditions are among the things that the PUCO is required to consider when determining whether to grant alternative regulation. On the first hand, these services are not functionally equivalent because the customer is required to buy a whole lot of other stuff in addition to the basic service. But there's also the fact that these services are not competitively priced to Cincinnati Bell's standalone service being priced at 50, 60.
The bundled services are not competitively priced.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is it possible that someone could opt out of a call waiting feature, for example?
When that service is provided by an alternative provider?
If I understand your argument, you think that the provision of basic service as described in the statute is not equivalent to those who have bundled services in addition to basic service.
And for...
Am I right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And all right. And so some individuals may opt out and not want a call waiting feature, for example. Under what the PUC has approved, is it still possible to opt out of a call waiting feature, as an example?
For the bundles of services that are provided by the alternative providers that were identified in this case, no, you cannot opt out of that service. So you have to buy the entire bundle. Of course, you can decline to use that service, but you're still... it's still available to you, and you're still required to pay for it.
Thank you.
The alternative providers, it's been specific to this case, are both wireless and landline-based carriers that use the existing lines of Cincinnati Bell, or what mix do we have in here?
The Cincinnati Bell did... as we refer to it, nominate a number of wireless carriers. And they are really should be looked at separately.
And their prices are all much higher. The minimum prices are all much higher than the basic telephone service.
The price for a service that is equivalent to Cincinnati Bell's standalone basic service is much higher. Yes, Your Honor. There are also Time Warner Communications, I believe, that provided service over its cable lines. Those lines, of course, do not cover the entirety of the Cincinnati or Hamilton exchanges, so that there are customers, Cincinnati Bell customers, in those areas that don't have that competitive alternative. The other carrier was Current Communications, which provides a service over what's known as broadband over power line, and that is, actually, according to Cincinnati Bell's own application, that service is available only in a small portion of the Cincinnati Exchange. So there are no carriers involved in this case that actually use Cincinnati Bell's facilities.
And your argument essentially is, in terms of a factual issue, that there are some customers in that exchange who cannot opt out of Cincinnati Bell for an alternative carrier at the same price for the same service.
Whether it's exactly the same price, of course, Your Honor, is not exactly the issue, but the prices that they would be required to pay are substantially greater, and therefore those prices are not competitive to Cincinnati Bell.
And then that permits Cincinnati Bell to continue raising its rates, at least to those customers, with the only restraint being the annual cap.
Yes, and these are the customers who have chosen not to subscribe to Cincinnati Bell's bundles, who have chosen this bare minimum service that as what they want and what they need.
What percentage of the customers are in that category?
Your Honor, that number is in the record of this case. Unfortunately, Cincinnati Bell decided that that number was a confidential number, so it's not publicly available. I can say, I believe, without violating any agreement we made, that it is a substantial number. So the number is in the file of this case.
The services that get bundled in that are over and above the bare bones are what, essentially? If you're going to have a cell phone in lieu of a landline, or if you're going to have Time Warner's cable service or whatever it is, what are the services that are?
Among the services, and I cannot swear to exactly which provider provides which of these services. For instance, our caller ID, call waiting, call forwarding. For the wireless carriers, and I believe Time Warner and Current, it also included nationwide long distance rather than local calling.
All right, and the difference, if you bundled that into Cincinnati Bell's service, which I assume they are also willing to do, where do you come out price?
Cincinnati Bell offers a bundle of services that I believe is currently priced about $40 a month.
Okay, and that would be comparable to cable or to the cell phone?
Yes, sir.
So you're talking basically double?
Yes, Your Honor.
Doubling the phone bill for your bare bones clients.
Yes, Your Honor, exactly. At this point, if there are no further
questions. What is the remedy that you're seeking to have us, or what rule are you, what are you looking to have us say in this case in the optimum position?
The first
thing. You only want basic service to be competitive with basic service. And it would appear as though there isn't any other basic service. Everybody's bundled something.
Okay. Your Honor, the first thing, of course, that we would like is to have these rate increases reversed. The second
good
thing,
move.
Of course, is that essentially we believe that this case should be remanded to the PUCO to adopt rules that follow the statute, which these rules and the implementation of these rules do not. As you will see in the
and
next oral argument.
When you say to remand to follow the rule, does that mean compare basic service with basic service? Is that what that, you really are asking us?
Or as I'm sorry, we will see in the next oral argument, for instance, there were providers in the AT&T territory who offer bundles of services that are actually competitive to standalone basic service.
So, thank you.
It will depend on the situation of each case, of course.
Thank you, Mr. Bergman. Mr. Wright.
Good morning. May it please the court, I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for Doug Hart, who is appearing today on behalf of the Cincinnati Bell Telephone Company. The argument has been framed. It is all about whether or not the statute, and that is where the answers to these questions lie, whether or not the statute requires this like comparison of basic service to basic service. Let me explain why that sort of analysis, why that standard is both contrary to the law and impractical. Let me start with impractical, if I may. The incumbent local carrier, Cincinnati Bell in this instance, is the only one required under the Commission's rules to provide basic local service as we know it today. That is a defined term. Coincidentally, it's a bundle of services, I might add. Secondly, the Commission's policy, the PUCO's policy, has always been to promote the widespread availability of that service at low rates. I would submit to you that the lack of other providers of just basic service is an economic vestige of that, of these low rates. It's economically not sustainable for someone else to come in and provide just that service. And finally, it's not what the evidence shows customers are doing today, what they want. Now, I want to clear up one, if there is a misconception here.
How do we know if the incumbent phone company is going to be allowed to keep the real numbers as some sort of important economic secret?
That is part of our problem. The competitive bundles that we're talking about are non-regulated businesses. It is a highly competitive situation
out there. We understand that, but if they don't want to tell us what percentage, you just said this isn't really what the customers want, but he said you can't tell us how many customers, what percentage of the customers want are taking just basic service.
Your Honor, the point I'm trying to make when I said that, the point is that as per the policy statute, 49-2902, basic local service has not gone anywhere. This is not an opt-in, opt-out game. It's still as available to customers as it was before this case and at a very reasonable rate. The rate, the capped rate, is closer to a movement towards the cost of that service and therefore to market. And the policy statute, 49-2902, I believe it's C, says where market forces exist, that's a factual determination for the commission to make, that those forces should determine what are reasonable rates and terms of service.
Well,
that's exactly what the commission did here.
There are still vestiges of regulation. I think we would all acknowledge that in the telephone area, we've come far closer to true competition than electric or gas service. So we understand that, but there are also, the legislature left some vestiges of regulation because there has always been a subsidy to provide a cross-subsidization to see to it that poor people have basic telephone service, or that people who live in the country where you have to spend a lot of money to get a line there have basic telephone service. And that means that others subsidize that. And I assume that's part of why they left some vestige of regulation so that could be achieved. Your comments seem to suggest that, it's good that the commission has set in motion this sort of automatic increase to get us to a market rate on these folks. Is that really what the legislature intended to happen, or did they intend for there still to be some subsidization of?
Good point, Your Honor, and the answer is yes. First of all, the commission didn't set this in motion. This was given to us by the General Assembly.
Right.
This is the policy of the General Assembly. And one aspect of the policy statute is low-income customers have to still have affordable service available to them. In fact, in this case, their rates do not change. They don't pay any more. They are on other types of programs. Typically, you may be familiar with federal lifeline programs, things like that. Those rates are not affected. At least the ultimate sum of the rate is not affected. They are held harmless, if you will, from this. So that vestige is entirely covered. It is in the policy statute. All we are saying is the General Assembly has indicated that, again, where facts are present, and we have unrefuted facts in this record that show that there are other providers, that they are basically the equivalent of or substitute for basic local service. Basic local service doesn't even include long distance. Most people want at least that additional service, so by definition, they are buying a bundle. And customers are moving. The marketplace is dynamic out there. And that's what the commission observed, and it's based on those facts that it determined that there are reasonable alternatives available.
Let me come back to the question of customers are moving. We were just told we can't be told what those numbers are. Is the commission told? I mean, this part of the question is to what percentage of the total population is just taking basic local service. We were told is a trade secret, apparently.
You can feel free to discuss that with Mr. Hart further if you like.
Okay,
but we do have evidence of movement.
Does the commission get to know it?
The evidence in the record, it primarily shows, it's a result of customer surveys that have been conducted that show a number of former Cincinnati Bell customers, it's called porting, have ported their numbers. They've taken their former Cincinnati Bell telephone number with them to other providers. These would probably be principally wireless people. That's in the record, and that is not refuted. So that is actual evidence that there's movement out there. Now, the statute doesn't say
My question was, does the commission know how many customers of Cincinnati Bell are still just getting basic service? Are they able to know that number?
With specificity, I would submit that they're familiar with the marketplace. Whether they know exactly or not, I don't know. I don't have a number for you today.
How on earth can they regulate if they can't even be told the basic information?
Basic local service remains an option. It remains an affordable option. That is what the law requires. And I would submit to you that the number of people that are taking basic local service in Cincinnati, in the Cincinnati Bell Market area, is probably much smaller than you've been led to believe because of the availability of
I haven't been led to believe anything.
I don't have an exact percentage, and I don't believe the statute requires that specificity. This court, in fact, in the 2004 decision said, rejecting very similar arguments to what are before you here today, said that the commission has broad judgment in terms of determining what the sufficiency of the facts are that establish the marketplace under the statute. I would submit to you that that case is squarely on point. It involved the same statute, and the reasoning should be applied here as well. Again, no one's being left without service. No one is being left without affordable service.
Is your position that the information to which Justice Pfeiffer refers is information that the commission has, but it's I guess the trade secret. That's not an issue before us, but let's assume it's a trade secret that we defer to the commission on the factual issues, even though we perhaps don't have the precise facts in the record before us.
Your Honor, again, I'm not commenting on whether this is a trade secret or not. I'm suggesting to you that the commission, and again, this court has suggested the commission determines what facts it needs to establish whether or not alternative regulation is appropriate. In this instance, whether the commission knows with specificity how many people are taking basic local service in the Cincinnati area or not, the commission felt, it had adequate facts to establish, as per the statutory elements, that there were alternatives out there that were substituting. They're basically basic local service plus, if you will, these bundles that customers are using to substitute for that. And there's no magic there. I mean, who didn't come through the front door of this building today without their cell phone? A day doesn't go by that you don't get the ads for Vonage
you're talking
and for Sprint
about,
and everyone
you know,
else.
The world's changing.
Yes, it is. Very quickly.
Our children and our grandchildren use the cell phones, and a lot of them are saying we don't need landlines. But little old ladies who are living at home,
or men,
fair enough.
Not necessarily old.
Who are almost shut-ins. I mean, I think that's the population the legislature was concerned about, and you're essentially telling us, I think, that the commission made some decisions here without really knowing how many of those folks are even out there.
Your Honor, the commission could have gone further than it did under the statute. It could have deregulated this service. Sky's the limit on the pricing. I would submit to you that Mr. Hart would probably tell you that the commission should have gone further than they did. They capped the rate at a very modest level, and it's a cap on a rate that was already, and for years has been, as counsel suggested, very, very low.
Mr. Wright, could I ask?
Yes, sir.
Is basic standalone service still available to customers?
In the Cincinnati market area?
Yes.
Yes, sir, it is.
And as a result of the action of the PUCO, if we approve that, will they be required to pay an additional $15 then per year with the add-on of $1.25 per month?
It's
for that basic service that they're presently paying $18.
The math, it is $1.25 a month.
Well, it's 15.
And to suggest, however, that the commission will never look at this again is not correct. The statute itself, 492703, contains a built-in safety net. And if the commission determines that the facts upon which it based this decision no longer hold, that the marketplace isn't where it was, it has full authority to rescind that order or to modify that order accordingly. So this is not the commission wiping their hands of this.
I'm trying to understand your argument that standalone service is still available to customers of Cincinnati Bell. And what
at
you're
a slightly
saying
higher rate.
Is
I,
it is
I
still available, but it will
yes,
be $15
sir.
More per year.
If the $1.25 were exercised
yes.
or the full ceiling per month, that is true. That is true. I see that my time
will,
is
will
up.
Will that service, that standalone service, be bundled, or will it just be singular?
I'm sorry, will the standalone service be bundled?
Yes.
Was that your question?
Yes.
The standalone, no. That will remain Cincinnati Bell's basic offering.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. Hart.
Mr. Hart, could I ask you, please, to obtain this exemption under 492703, Cincinnati Bell was required to show the eligibility for an exemption. As I understand it, the PUCO has established regulations that say when a company may apply for this exemption. What specific regulations did Cincinnati fulfill to allow you to argue that this statute applies?
Cincinnati Bell applied under what's called Competitive Test 4, and it's cited in the brief, but the basic requirements were that you should demonstrate loss of 15% of your lines, access lines, and that there were five alternative providers of service who were actually serving residential customers in that area. That's one of four possibilities that the commission laid out as a safe harbor rule. In addition, the statute allows a company to propose its own test, in which case it will have to demonstrate that the test satisfies the statute.
So when we're talking about what Cincinnati has or has not lost in terms of competition, you were able to satisfy the PUCO that you met that test, which included the 15% loss. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. Thank you.
Correct. I want to remove the mystery, Justice Pyford, your question about how many basic customers there are. As is very standard before the Utilities Commission, oftentimes trade secret or confidential information is necessary to a case, and the parties enter into a protective order, which was done in this case. Those numbers were provided to the Commission under the protective order. The OCC has had it in discovery and has had quite a bit of information about the company in discovery. It never contested the status of that information as a trade secret.
That's what I was trying to find out.
Briefs were filed in parallel with and without the information, and it's all in the record before this court. So there's no secret. It's just we can't disclose that publicly because it's a competitive market, and competitors don't disclose how many customers they have for each of their lines of business.
So, counsel, let me ask you one question then. You said that Cincinnati Bell used the competitive test, and they were showing that there's a loss of a customer base. Is that
correct?
Basically what it is?
Correct.
Is there a showing that they're losing these basic customers, or are they losing other types of customers that have bought into a bundled system?
That particular test does not distinguish between the two customer bases. But one thing that we did demonstrate in the evidence was where customers were going, because we had to demonstrate that at least five providers were offering service to residential customers. The way Cincinnati Bell did that was it gathered a database of customers who had left it, and they hired a marketing firm to do a customer survey, and they interviewed hundreds of customers about where do you get your telephone service, you know, who's your provider, and then the company went back to look to see what those customers had been buying when they were with Cincinnati Bell. We found customers who went to each of these five providers, and we found customers who had just basic service had also ported to each of these providers. Again, the numbers, the percentages of who those were is under seal. It's a confidential number, but it's a substantial percentage.
The commission does have those numbers.
Yes, it did have those numbers. And so we demonstrated that not only in theory do customers who have basic service switch to these alternate providers into package services, but in fact, Cincinnati Bell's own customers were doing that. Which really, I know my time's up, but I really want to make one
basic... You can take a little more time. We took a lot of...
Thank you. This case was really decided 3 years ago in Stevens. And the difference between Stevens and this case is the statute was amended to make basic local service eligible for alternative regulation, just as every other telephone service in the state has been since 2004. The standard for when the commission can grant that alternative regulation is stated in the statute. It's if the service is subject to competition or if the customer has reasonably available alternatives. It's a fact determination for the commission to determine what is competitive and what's a reasonable alternative. The commission had a lengthy administrative proceeding where everyone in the market, the OCC, other consumer groups, everybody had their input into that. What's competitive, what isn't. The commission made a fact and policy judgment that these alternative providers, even in bundles, were competitive with basic service. That's a fact question.
Are there competitors without bundled services?
No, and the reason for that is really twofold. One, Cincinnati Bell is the only company in AT&T's market or Sprint or Embark, whoever. In those markets, the incumbent is the only carrier that is required by law to offer basic service standing alone. And it's the only service in the state that has a price regulation on it. Everything else is competitive. And as was discussed here, basic local service has been subsidized forever. In a competitive market where every other service, including those that are contributing to the subsidy, are subject to competition, there is nowhere to support that subsidy.
Council,
basically requiring the company to offer a below-cost service.
The arrangement that the commission put in place for increases, it's $1.25 a month each year?
An annual maximum of $1.25, yes.
So the actual percentage of increase, how many years does that go out?
I believe it's indefinite, but there's a five-year review period where the commission can go back.
The percentage increase each year will be a smaller
roughly percentage. Roughly 5%, give or take.
But as the number gets larger, the 25 becomes a smaller percentage.
Absolutely. And this is a rate that has not changed in a decade. And the last change was minimal. It was really kind of readjusting rates in a big rate case. But the basic rates are for basic service really hasn't changed much in 20 years. It changed slightly about 10 years ago. So this is really a recognition by the legislature and by the Utilities Commission that basic service is not market priced. The point of 4927 is basically to bring telephone service at market prices. We've got one service that has never been at market price. The commission found these alternatives are eroding the customer base, that they're reasonable alternatives. While there's a price difference, in real terms, it's not substantial. It's a few dollars a month. But what the commission found was there's going to be some people that don't want to switch, and they're protected. They're protected two ways. They have the $1.25 cap for all customers, or if you qualify for Lifeline service, which is a substantial customer base as well, there's no increase. We can't increase that at all. So,
does the statute, as one question asked, give you the ability to deregulate entirely the basic service?
It does. The commission could have gone without a rate cap, and it
so
could
the
have
commission could have chosen that and said, just let the market be what it is and deregulate entirely, and in its discretion chose to look at the facts
and put a cap on. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. In fact, in the original ruling, or the original proposal, I should say, that was in the rate case, in the rules case, which preceded Cincinnati Bell's individual case, the commission had actually put a different limit on price increase. I believe it was an absolute dollar amount. But that was actually changed, or it was a percentage, I take it back. That was changed from a percentage to a $1.25, which is actually a smaller amount than had actually been proposed by staff. But the law would actually allow the commission to have no cap whatsoever and just to let the rate go immediately to market rates, which it did not. Which
Mr.
really
Hartman,
leaves
I,
me.
Just, I have one question of clarification. Sure. I thought I heard you say that the market study that Cincinnati Bell engaged indicated that customers went to the five alternative providers for basic service, but then later I think I heard you say that none of those went for basic service.
I'm not sure if I communicated that thought clearly. What I was saying was the company surveyed customers. It found customers who went to each of the alternative carriers. It then went to its own records to see what was that customer buying when they were a Cincinnati Bell customer before they switched.
Not the
alternative provider, but those customers started with Cincinnati Bell with basic service, canceled that service, and took it somewhere else and bought a package, basically.
Thank you.
If I could sum up, unless there's other questions.
Quickly.
The statute does not require that the competitive service be basic local service. What it says is that either it's subject to competition or there is an alternative. On the plain face of the statute, alternative means something different. So the linchpin of the OCC's argument that you can only allow alternative regulation of basic service if there's another basic service is nowhere present in the statute. I think Chief Justice Moyer pointed that out early, that where's the limitation in the statute?
The statute is very broad. It's really broad. Mm-hmm. It gives the commission considerable discretion.
And essentially, the OCC is asking this court to be a superior fact finder to the commission, and it's never taken on that role. There are scores of cases where the court has declined to get into a fact-finding mission when the commission is charged with that duty.
Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Thank you.
Mr. Bergman, you've saved 3 minutes of your time.
Mr. Bergman, do you agree that the PUCO has the ability to deregulate this entirely instead of putting a cap on?
The PUCO would have the authority to not put a cap on these services, as it has under a number of other services, including the bundles, based on a decision from 2001, which was upheld by this court in Stevens. If they found that standalone basic service was subject to competition or had reasonably available alternatives and did so by considering all of the factors listed in the statute.
So we could rule in your favor and send it back and they could choose to deregulate entirely and then there is no cap and protection for your consumer.
Again, Your Honor, if they found that the terms of the statute were met.
And again, isn't that what they did find? They found that the terms of the statute were met and that's why they put the cap on. Isn't that correct?
They found that under an improper interpretation of the statute, which allowed services that are not functionally equivalent, that are not competitively priced, to stand as competition for standalone basic service.
But how do you reach that position when the market no longer supports anyone else in the community offering basic service? Every other carrier now offers only a bundled package.
That's right, Your Honor, and that's why that is the reality that we have. And it does not give the commission to create competition where there is none. Only if there is actual competition should the commission be allowed to grant alternative regulation.
Your position is because the market's changed and everybody's going to bundled packages, therefore Cincinnati Bell can never raise its rates.
Your Honor, Cincinnati Bell cannot raise its rates under this particular form of alternative regulation. Cincinnati Bell had applied for back in the 90s alternative regulation under 492704. There is also, of course, the statutory provision in 4905, 18 and 19 that what we call a traditional rate case, where they could raise those rates if they showed a need for it. That is something they have not been able to show for quite a long time and probably could not show today. I would like to say, first of all, without getting into this too deeply, there is absolutely nothing in the record of this case or any other PUCO case that shows that CBT's standalone basic service is subsidized. It is a low price, but it is not priced below cost.
Council, Mr. Hart has made the argument that it's not necessary to have apples-to-apples competition analysis here, and you're saying it is necessary. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I suppose what would be acceptable would be to have a McIntosh to Jonathan comparison. Here we have an apples to oranges, an apples to grapefruit, an apples to a fruit basket comparison, and that just doesn't work under the statute.
Okay, but his basic argument is that it's the statute allows for that type of or does not demand that there be the exact basic service standalone to be permissible in order for this rate hike to be permissible.
What the statute requires is for there to be functionally equivalent services at competitive rates, terms, and conditions. Those don't exist here.
Thank you, Mr. Bergman. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.